the sons of God. Amen. But in that process, I thought about it all week long, and I said, I wonder how many times, not just at Blessed Hope, but how many times in church people have left church hurt, and nobody even knew they were hurt. And nobody knew, and they left hurt. And we didn't even know they hurt them. We hurt them. And I wonder how many times people have set up in church. We have set up in church hurt and never said anything. And we just sat there hurting. So I thought about it, and as a matter of fact, Marcus, I'm going to need your navigation skills if you don't mind, because this is not a problem. Can you pull up the word forgiveness and put it up there if you would? Because you know what? Our whole plan of salvation was based on forgiveness. The whole plan of salvation was based on forgiveness. If God had not forgiven us, we wouldn't be sitting in this nice place right now. If God had not forgiven, we would not even be sitting here. So I want you to understand, when we say forgive, we need to understand what forgiveness really means. What we really mean, because sometimes we say we forgive a person, but we just say it because it seems like the right thing to do. But according to scripture, we'll use Genesis. But I want us to understand something about forgiveness as far as what it really means, so we can be on the same page. Let me see if I'm pulling this. I might find it myself. But sometimes we say we forgive people and we really don't. We hold resentment in our hearts. And as long as you hold that resentment in your heart, you suffer more than the person that was actually the victim of what you did. And I'm going to show you that too in the Bible. You actually suffer more because of holding in that resentment. So I know resentment is part of we hold and we forgive, but if when Marcus pulled it up, I'm actually going to, I don't have my, does anybody by chance have, and y'all, excuse me, but does anybody have a NCV Bible I can use? NCV? If you don't, go to Genesis then. I'm going to show you something and forgive. Genesis, we're going to use our Bibles today, Pastor Smith. Amen. Turn them pages. I don't have my NCV, so I'm going to use my P-H-O-N-E. I can find it, but I'm an NCV person. Actually, Marcus, you turned me on to it years ago, and I've been reading it ever since. NCV version. All right, so do we have forgiveness? The definition of forgiveness. Because we need to understand that when you say you forgive a person, you need to free yourself from that thing. Because a lot of people will hold things against another person, and that other person has gone on about their business, and you still suffering the consequences. You still suffering. And they forgot all about it and forgot about you too. And I think as a body of believers, we have to understand the magnitude of what forgiveness is, because we won't forgive people sometimes over simple things, but we forget God forgave us over something that nobody else could forgive us of. He forgives us of things that no one else forgave us of. So while he's looking at, who has the NCV? Okay, so go to Genesis chapter 3. Go to Genesis chapter 3. And you know what, since this is Soul Food Sunday, let's do some soul searching. How about that? So on Soul Food Sunday, we need to do some soul searching, because you know what? And it don't matter if we sitting up there laughing and eating and having a good time and enjoying our food together. It doesn't matter if we have resentment towards each other. That what we do up there is wonderful, but what we do in here with each other and among each other, as far as our heart's concerned, that's more important. So let's do some soul searching, if you would. And again, I want to thank God for that person who really opened up to me and talked to me about that. So in Genesis, let's see if I can pull it up. I think this is NCV. In Genesis chapter 3, go down to, we're going to go to Genesis chapter.
Jesus.
Three. Amen. I'm going to show you where. When God talked to Eve, I believe it's around verse 20, somewhere down there. Genesis chapter 3. Because there's an element to forgiveness that we need to understand. This is after Adam and Eve had sinned. God had given them everything you could want. They were immortal, and God was good to them. Have you ever been really, really good to somebody and they hurt you in spite of? It's like you did everything you could to make things perfect for them, and you still got hurt. Amen. So this is what happened. We see here, it says that we go down to 16. I want to do 3 and 16. He talked to Satan. Now 3 and 16, this is God talking to Eve. Who got 3 and 16? Do we have 3 and 16? Okay, so as we begin to read, hold that, stay right there. Forgiveness is to grant pardon for or remission of an offense or debt absolved. It's to grant pardon. So if I forgive you, whatever it is you did to me, I'm going to erase it. I'm not going to hold resentment. I'm releasing the resentment that came with that, what I had. I'm releasing that. That's what true forgiveness is. It's being pardoned. Just like God forgave us, he pardoned us, and we actually should have suffered a consequence, but he pardoned us. So go to Genesis 3 and 16, NCV.
Then God said to the woman, I will cause you to have much trouble when you are pregnant, and when you give birth to children, you will have great pain. You will greatly desire your husband, but he will rule over you.
Go ahead and read again. Keep reading. I'm sorry. Read what our burden became.
Verse 17, then God said to the man, you listened to what your wife said, and you ate fruit from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat. So I will put a curse on the ground, and you will have to work very hard for your food. In pain, you will eat its food all the days of your life.
Read 18 and 19.
The ground will produce thorns and weeds for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will sweat and work hard for your food. Later, you will return to the ground because you were taken from it. You are dust, and when you die, you will return to the dust. Verse 20, the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living.
Amen, that's good enough. Now let me ask you all a question. Did God really forgive Adam and Eve? Did he forgive Adam and Eve for what they did? That's not rhetorical, I'm asking you. Answer. Did God forgive Adam and Eve for their sin? He did, y'all sure? But watch this, because sometimes we need to understand, sometimes in forgiving a person, that doesn't mean I necessarily have to restore things to this original state. You all understand what I'm saying? I want you to understand now, sometimes if you forgive a person, don't feel guilty if the situation don't allow you to restore things to its original state, because that might not be the best thing for you. Let me give you an example. If you got a husband, wife that's been beating you and mistreating you, and you get rid of him, I don't mean get rid of him, but you, I don't mean it like that. You divorce him, let's just say it that way. And not only do you divorce him over a period of time, because forgiveness takes some time to get over what people did to you. You don't just wake up and say, I forgive you, and it's all. Sometimes people have hurt you and wounded you so deeply, it takes time for that scar to heal. But now you've reached a point where your scar is healed, but guess what? He come back and say, baby, yada, yada, yada. You know what? You can say, I forgive you, but it ain't gonna be like that no more. You don't have to restore them to the original state. God forgave Adam and Eve, but he didn't restore them to the original state they were in. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading, the Bible said God put them out the garden. He put him out the garden. So Adam had a perfect relationship with God. Adam had this relationship where he could go to God and talk to God. They had this communion together. He had access to everything except for that tree in the garden. But when he sinned, he changed the relationship. And sometimes when people offend you, you can forgive them, but guess what? I'm going to have to feed you with a long-handled spoon now, because it's just not healthy for us to go there again. So don't fall for that, because people will tell you, well, if you remember, you haven't forgiven me. No, I forgive you, and I'm going to keep remembering, because I'm not going to let you in this space no more. I'm not going to let you in that space anymore, but I'll still forgive you. That's why I say here, even in the body of Christ, if we don't understand and if we don't grasp and embrace forgiveness, we're really missing it, because God forgave us for something dreadful we had done. And we won't forgive somebody for stepping on our toe on Sunday. And we'll be mad at them. We won't forgive somebody for sitting in our seat or parking in our parking space. And we'll sit down grumpy and mad. You know what? You know what forgiveness does to you? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you what forgiveness will do to you, because forgiveness, or not forgiving rather, when you don't forgive, it can be detrimental to you. Did you know that? Physically, it can cause problems. You can have so much resentment in your heart towards a person, it can cause physical problems. You can have so much resentment towards a person until if you got high blood pressure, your blood pressure can go up. Folks have had strokes, heart attacks, and all that because of anger towards somebody else. So when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on you. Watch what the Bible says. 6:14. Does that sound right? I think that's it. Matthew 6:14.
Yes. If you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive you for your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins.
Now let me fix that. Now I want you to notice something. This is like right after the Lord's Prayer. Right after the Lord's Prayer. But let me fix something first. Jesus said, if you don't forgive people who trespass against you, who sinned against you, he said, my Father ain't going to forgive you of your sins. Let me clear this up real quick, because they told me this wrong when I was coming up. They said, if you have sin, if you have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, when Jesus come back, you're going to hell. If you're a Christian. I'm like, wow. And that was part of my burden, because I'm like, it's just too many rules and regulations, and it's just too much. I can't follow all this. And I thought that, but that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, if you don't forgive people, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need some mercy. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need some mercy, and you know what God say? I'm going to let you suffer through it because of how you are. It's kind of like you're going to reap what you sow. In the Lord's Prayer, do you remember, if you go back up a little bit, read the part where it says, forgive us as we forgive. Go back up to that.
Verse 12, forgive us for our sins just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us.
Forgive us just as we, and there's another verse that says, forgive us as we forgive forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So watch how that process works. As I forgive my debtors, God say, I'm going to forgive you. As I forgive my debtors, God say, I'm going to forgive you. See the process there? When I stop forgiving folks, God said, I'm going to stop showing you some mercy when you need forgiveness. That's not concerning your salvation. If you have salvation and you have Jesus Christ in your life, that's not, he's not saying, I'm going to send you to hell because you didn't forgive somebody. That's not it. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, if you got unforgiveness in your heart, you won't forgive anybody, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer from it. You're going to suffer from it. I'm not going to even be long, y'all. We're going to have soul food Sunday. But we got to do some soul searching. Because I don't want to, I don't even know if anything is going on here, and I pray it's not. But if it is, let's just go ahead and fix it. I don't want to be sitting next to you if you mad at me, eating. You might put something in my greens. You know, so, because I'm not a pretentious person. I mean, you would know, I just can't pretend to like you. I can't. I really can't. I can't pretend to like you. If I don't like you, I just don't like you. I'm serious. I'm serious. Now, you understand, all of us have a level of relationship among each other. You know, some people have, you know, but different levels of relationship that are closer. Some people are closer than others. But the thing is, we got to love each other. We got to, because there are characteristics about me I know y'all don't like. There are some characteristics about you all I don't like. A lot of characteristics, but you know what? Blessed Hope needs me. You know why? Because Blessed Hope needs you. Blessed Hope needs y'all. Blessed Hope needs you, Pastor. Blessed Hope needs you. Blessed Hope needs everybody in here. Because you know what? Everybody brings something different to the table. If everybody in here was like me, this church would be in a lot of trouble. So we have to appreciate and respect our differences without falling out over one another and getting mad. And when we do have our differences, when I do offend you or you offend me, I just have to move on. Now, I'm talking about characteristics that God gave us. I'm not talking about some of these attitudes that we develop in some of these toxic ways. But sometimes we, the way we are, we just, let me share something with you. Pastor Jim Smith probably going to offend more of us than anybody else in this church. You know why? Because he always got to make decisions. And there's nowhere in the world he's going to always be able to make decisions to please everybody in this church. So guess what? When he say the carpet going to be blue, y'all going to be mad because y'all wanted it red. So he said, okay, well, let's just go ahead and make it red. Then they're going to be mad because they say, nah, you said it was going to be blue. It's just the way it is. So we're going to always offend one another. Me and Brother Mac, I may have told this testimony before. I'm somewhat of a transparent guy. Me and Brother Mac had our odds one time when I first came here. And we was on the phone heated, too. Yeah, we was heated. Because y'all know how I am about the sound, and we was going back and forth. And he was trying to figure me out, and I was trying to figure out what he doing back there. He trying to figure out what's going on up here. And we was on the phone, Karen. We was just really heated. And it was raining outside. He was working. He was a mailman out in the rain. And I heard the rain. And I said, I'm going to keep talking and keep him in the rain. Get him soaking wet. He said, hold on. He said, hold on. I'm in the rain. I'll see you at the church. I said, come on. I didn't mean it like that. So it was like right before Bible class. And we met back there in the room, and I think Pastor Forbes was here, and we had our discussion. And he wasn't happy with what I was trying to get done. I wasn't happy with him in the whole situation. And we just worked it out. We were angry with each other. We didn't sin, but we were angry with each other. But just to fast forward, at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, before we left out that room, we was laughing and talking. And I don't know if you remember that part. You know how Brother Mac, hey, Brother Mac, can I tell you about this restaurant where they serve this Brazilian buffet? We got to go get some of that Brazilian buffet. I mean, right after we just got through jawing at each other. You know why? Because we were mature Christians who understood you're not going to always agree with each other. But that don't mean I got to fall out with you and never speak to you again and be mad at you. And that's all I'm saying, guys. Get over it. But don't harbor it. Don't hold it in, because it's going to hurt you. So that's what when Jesus said, forgive, God won't forgive us. Understand that if you don't forgive your brother or your sister, or forgive anybody for that matter, God going to hold that accountable. Go hold you accountable. That's how it's going to affect you. There's another story in Matthew, if you read further down in chapter 18. And I'm actually going to wrap it up. Y'all get a short sermon today, because they have to help me, because when I preach a little long. But I do, there is nobody in this church that I have any resentment against. I don't have any resentment. I don't agree with everything. I don't have no resentment. That's just the way I would see it, or the way I would do it. Y'all think the board agree on everything when we back there having them board meetings? Y'all ought to be a fly on the wall sometimes. But that don't mean we don't love each other. Adam, Emma, we ain't back there smiling and laughing, eating donuts every meeting, are we? We're not. One meeting I saw outside of Elder, I'm like, whoa, Elder. But you know what? He was passionate about God's house and what God's house needed. It was passion. And his passion came out, and we grown, mature, Christian men. And at the end of the day, and sometimes when those meetings end, we still don't agree, but we love each other. We don't agree on everything, do we, Marlon? But you know what? We still love each other. And then you know what happens at that point? We say, you know what? God gonna have to give us wisdom on how to deal with this thing. That's what the end of the story is. God gonna have to give us wisdom how to deal with this thing. Because sometimes we get in the way with our own opinions and how we want things done. So every time we walk out of that room, those brothers walk out that room on a Wednesday night, we walk out loving each other. We walk out loving each other. Don't hold that resentment in. There's a story in chapter 18 about a servant who owed his master millions of dollars. You got that, Brother Rodney? I'm going to show y'all something. Now, Jesus is giving a parable here. Read 18 and read that story.
Verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, when my fellow believer sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Should I forgive him as many as seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, you must forgive him more than seven times. You must forgive him even if he wrongs you 70 times seven. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his
servants owed him. Let me stop him right there so we can fix that scripture. It's not broken. Let me explain it. Let me put it that way. When Jesus says 7 times 70, first of all, don't go counting what 70 times 70 equal. Because then you start figuring, okay, well, now I'm done. No. Jesus was just saying, you got to keep forgiving folks. And keep forgiving folks. But let me go back to what I said earlier. First of all, sometimes we're not even if genuine when we say, I'm sorry. And you know it sometimes. Sometimes I'm sorry don't mean I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm sorry just mean it's just the best thing to do right now. Or it's convenient right now. Or maybe you got busted and you sorry. But Jesus said forgive him 7 times 70. But watch this. I can forgive you, and this is why we can't hold resentment. Because even if you keep doing foolish, crazy things, because I have forgiven you and moved that resentment and God has replaced it and healed it, when you come back with that foolishness, it don't bother me no more. Because I've forgiven you for it already. That's how you know you're over something. When somebody keep doing something to you and it hurts you and you leave church crying, you leave mad, you ain't over it yet. But then when they come back and do it again and you be like, whatever, you over it now. See, that's how you know you're over it. So I forgive you, but I'm not going to tolerate your foolishness. Amen. There's a difference. So the way I don't tolerate your foolishness, I'm going to have to deal with you from right back here. Can't deal with you right here no more. because I know how you are, but I'm going to pray for you because I love you. But I ain't going to let you hurt me no more. You know what? Because I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you for the first time you did it until all the rest of you do it tomorrow and 2 years from now. Guess what? I already forgave you because I've already removed the resentment out of my heart. That's what God did with our sins. God moved that resentment. God was going to send us to hell. And God said, you know what? I'm going to send you a redeemer. I said, I'm going to send you a helper. And I'm going to put forgiveness from the time it started all the way through to eternity. God already forgave us tomorrow, y'all. He did. God has already forgiven us because he got over what Adam did. And he made a way for Adam because he loved man. And that's what you have to do when you know people say, when people say, I'm sorry, and you know they don't mean it. Whether they mean it or not, you make sure you get the resentment out of your heart. Even if you don't mean it, I'm already past it. So you know what? You can say, forgive me 100 times. Guess what? I already forgave you 101 times. Because I move past it. Because if you don't, that thing gonna haunt you. It's gonna eat at you. And sometimes the person will hold it over you. If they know you're not free from it. Once they realize you're free from it, they ain't gonna bother you no more. They ain't gonna bother you no more. So let's read the story about the servant. And then we're gonna wrap it up.
Verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. When the king began to collect his money, a servant who owed him several million dollars was brought to him. But the servant did not have enough money to pay his master, the king.
How much did he owe him, brother?
Several million dollars.
Several million dollars. I wish I had several million dollars to loan out. Go ahead and finish.
So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even the servant's wife and children. Then the money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything I owe." The master felt sorry for his servant and told him he did not have to pay it back. Then he let the servant go free. Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few dollars. The servant grabbed him around the neck and said,
"Hold on, will you tell him what he's? How much did he owe him?
A few dollars.
Wait a minute, a few million? Right. Okay. Now I owe somebody several million dollars. Marla, you only owe me $5. I'm gonna show you why Jesus used that to show that gap. Now that's an extreme right there. Mm-hmm. You go from a person that owed someone several million dollars down to just a few dollars. That's a huge gap. Go ahead and finish.
Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few dollars. The servant grabbed him around the neck and said, "Pay me the money you owe me." The other servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything I owe." But the first servant refused to be patient. He threw the other servant into prison until he could pay everything he owed. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very sorry. So they went and told their master all that had happened. Then the master called his servant in and said, "You evil servant, because you begged me to forget what you owed, I told you that you did not have to pay anything. You should have showed mercy to that other servant just as I showed mercy to you." The master was very angry and put the servant in prison to be punished until he could pay everything he owed.
That's the one I want to read out. The next, it should be another verse.
Verse 35, this king did what my heavenly father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Remember, now we just read earlier in Matthew where he said, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. But watch this gap. Watch this gap. Several million dollars, few dollars. Several million dollars were forgiven, few dollars was not forgiven. Look at the gap. Salvation, Jesus died on the cross, we're forgiven. That little thing you said to me,
I ain't gonna forgive you for it.
I was dying on my way going to hell, forgiven. You parked in my parking space. I ain't gonna forgive you for that. Y'all see the gap? We won't forgive folks over little stuff. We hold resentment in our hearts over little stuff. And Jesus said, look what I did for you. Look at the big gap between me holding resentment for you and look what I did for you. I forgave you of your sins. I put you on the right track. I saved you from drugs. I saved you from suicide. I saved you from going to an eternal hell. That was a big old thing. And I got enough nerve to hold resentment in my heart because you said something to offend me. You see the gap now. We can't hold resentment in our heart over stuff that happened down there. We have to look back and say, wow, look what God did. He did millions, and I'm tripping over a few. Look at the gap. And Matthew reiterated, Jesus rather, in here Matthew said, if you don't, he said, I'm going to hold you accountable to the same judgment. Won't forgive your brother or sister, you're going to regret it. Because when it comes time for you to be shown mercy, I'm going to let you suffer through it. Do y'all see? Did I make my point clear? John 3:16. I'm done. John 3:16. And whenever the Lord allows, we'll preach that sermon. I was going to preach on greed and not having your heart and having your heart on earthly things or whatever, but we'll talk about that another time. But that Saturday, when we were up there, that did a lot for me. It opened my eyes to some things. I said, you know what? We family, y'all. We got to fix stuff when it's broken between us. I didn't say we got to agree on everything. I said we got to fix stuff when it's broken. And this is, that's my sermon. I don't want that. Thank you, Brother Marcus, for navigating for me. Appreciate it. So that's the millions right there. That's the millions God did for us. That's the several millions. Sister Dorinda, God did for us. That God, so you know what? Let's just read it, everybody, together. And that's the last scripture, and we're going to pray. Here we go. God
loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him
may not be lost, but have eternal. Give God a hand, praise. That's the millions right there. That's it, Sister Penny. That's the millions right there. That's the millions right there. God loved me so much. He said, I'm not going to send you to hell. You deserve to. I'm not going to send you to hell. God loved me so much. He said, I'm going to give you eternal life with me. You don't deserve it. Trust me, you do not deserve this. But I'm going to give you eternal life with me. So I can't have resentment in my heart for anybody. I can't afford to because of what he did for the millions. And I want to say this to anybody here that don't know Jesus. This verse right here is for you. This is the millions that God is offering you. This is something God is offering you that can't nobody else give you. This is the several million. I can give you a few. I can pray for you. I can invite you to church. Pray that God save you. Share the gospel with you. But the several millions, only God can do that. Only God can save you. I can't save you. It's out of my reach. It's out of my capability. It's out of my capability. Anybody here today, I never want to assume that everybody in here is going to heaven and have accepted Jesus as their Savior. If you're here and you have not accepted him as your Savior, why don't you come? And Marcus, there's a YouTube video with Hezekiah Walker that says, I need you to survive. We're going to sing it as a family because we need each other. And we're going to pray. We're going to sing this song. And when he play this song, we're going to sing it. But you know what I'm going to do? Find somebody in this church. Several people, however many you want to. And just go hug them and say, if I did anything to offend you, I'm sorry. Is that okay? If I did anything to you, I'm sorry. But more importantly, mean it. I don't have a problem telling a brother, hey man, I love you. These brothers, we brothers, and I love you with the love of Christ. And I'm secure enough to know, to say that. We used to sing this song all the time. Well, y'all sing it, we stand on our feet, we're gonna pray, let's sing it. Now go hug some folks and tell them if I offended you.
I need you.
Come on, y'all start hugging folk.
You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body.
All right, y'all, let's pray.
You need me.
Come on, y'all, let's pray.
We're all a part of God's
amen,
body.
Amen.
Stand with me.
Stand with
look at somebody, tell them, agree with me.
Agree with
we're
me.
We're all a part
of
now.
We're all a
come on, y'all, let's pray.
It is His will.
Father, we thank you. Let's pray. Father, let's pray. We're not dismissed. I just asked you to hug somebody. Let's pray first. Come on, y'all. Let's have prayer. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this message on today. God, although it was not planned out, it was your plan. God, we pray that as we prepare our hearts for offering,
open your mouth and say, I need you.
Lord, that you will forgive us for being so stingy at times. And God, we ask that as our brother come to receive this offering, Lord, when we give our sacrifice, it means nothing if our heart is not right. So God, we ask you among us, Lord, let us realize we love each other, we need each other, and we forgive each other. Not going to hold any resentment in our hearts toward one another. And if there is, we're going to go to our brother and fix it. And if that doesn't work, we're going to get another brother and take him and we're going to fix that thing. Do whatever it is to fix it, because I need you to survive. We need each other to survive. We're important to each other. So help us to, we want to continue to pray for one another. So God, as we prepare our hearts again to give, bless this offering, Lord. Bless it, Lord, that it will glorify you, that it will just bring whatever needed to the ministry, help further the ministry. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. As you take your seats, we ask you just prepare your hearts for offering and giving. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor. And if I stepped out of line, I'll be in the office and you take care of me back there.
I won't harm you.